Brothers and sisters, this is our scripture reading for this morning. It comes from Luke's gospel. It's a familiar story. Here it's words for us now. Now as they, that's Jesus and the disciples, went on their way, he entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks. So she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left all the work for me to do by myself? Tell her to help me." But the Lord answered, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need for only one thing. And Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." Will you pray with me? Gracious God, we simply ask that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts would be measured and found acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Poor Martha. Poor Martha. We give Martha a hard time, don't we? We pick on Martha. Every time that we read this story about these two sisters, it's Martha. It's Martha who's always pointed out as the what not to do. Poor Martha. We pick on her. We say she didn't get the bigger picture. We shake our heads saying, "Lord, just don't let me be like Martha." I mean, there's a big dinner party going on at Martha's house. And Martha is trying to be the good host, so she's running around, fretting and fussing, trying to make sure that everything is just right. She's barking out the orders, put this here, put that there, clear off the dining table, pick up your toys, fill the water glasses, somebody sweep the floor, come on, we're supposed to be having a good time here, people. And then she says, "Where is my sister? We are throwing this party together. Where is my sister?" I mean, they agreed to host this thing together. On the invitations, it says, "Martha and Mary invite you over for dinner." So where is she? She's in the living room, sitting there, listening to Jesus tell the same stories that he tells every time he gets them together. Then there's this point in that story where Martha, who is under so much stress from trying to host the perfect party, simply cannot take it anymore, and she loses it. She goes off on her sister right there in front of everybody. You've all had this holiday moment, right, at one time or another, right there in front of Jesus. She says, "Jesus, look, can't you see how hard I'm trying to throw this party? Trying to make sure that everything is just right. And my sister is sitting there listening to you tell the same jokes that you told last time that we got together at the party. The Lions aren't going to win the game. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Tell her to get in this kitchen and help me out now." And Jesus says, "Martha, poor Martha. Chill out, Martha. Mary's chosen the better part. And that part won't be taken away from her." Oh, you can't blame Martha, though, can you? I mean, we are hard on her, but you can't blame her. She was trying so hard because Jesus was coming over for dinner, for goodness sakes. And if Jesus were coming over to dinner at your house, you would try very hard to make sure that you had everything just right. You can't imagine the pressure Martha must have felt under. She didn't want to disappoint anybody. She wanted everything to be just right. So can you imagine how crushed she must have felt when the guest of honor turned to her and said, "Martha, look at your sister. She's chosen the better part." Can you imagine how crushed Martha must have felt? Jesus says, choose the better part. See, we need to lighten up on Martha. You know, because there's something she didn't know. There's something she didn't know. You see, she didn't know that that would be the last time. The last time Jesus would ever be in her home. She didn't know that that was the last time. The last time Jesus would ever sit at her table. She did not know that that was the last time. The last time she'd ever hear Jesus tell the same old stories. See, she just didn't know. She didn't know that Jesus would leave her home and that from her home he would be heading to Jerusalem where a cross awaited. He did not know, she did not know, that this would be the last time she ever saw him. The last time she'd ever talk to him, the last time they would ever share a meal together, because if she had, oh, she would have chosen the better part. She might not have fretted and fussed so much. She might have taken some time to enjoy his company. She would have taken time to laugh at his jokes or at least roll her eyes. She would have made sure that he knew how much she treasured his friendship. If she had known that this would have been the last time that her friend would ever be seated at that table with her, can you imagine what that goodbye at the end of that dinner would have been like? She would have held on just a little longer. She would have chosen the better part. The most memorable Thanksgiving of my life, Thanksgiving 1998. But here's the deal. I don't remember anything about it. The most memorable Thanksgiving of my entire life, and I don't know what we ate. I don't know where we ate. I don't know what we said. I don't know if we fought. I don't know if we prayed. All I know in hindsight, that was my mom's last Thanksgiving. The most memorable Thanksgiving of my life is the Thanksgiving I don't remember a single thing about. Because we didn't know. We simply did not know that in the year to come, a late night phone call from my dad, and my dad never called. And so when it was my dad on the answering machine saying, "Jeff, I don't care what time you get home, you need to call," I knew it wasn't good. And sure enough, a diagnosis led to a hospital, led to a cemetery 3 weeks later. In Thanksgiving 1999, there was an empty chair at that table for the first time. And had we known that there would be an empty chair at that table 1 year earlier, I promise you, I would be able to tell you every single detail of that Thanksgiving. Jesus says, choose the better part. Choose the better part. Because this week you will be gathered around a table and it could be easy to get caught up in all of the details, become so consumed in getting everything just right that at the end of the day we could still get the most important thing wrong. We could try so hard to get everything right that when it's all over we still might get the most important thing wrong. Choose the better part. Take stock in who is seated around you at that table. Chances are they will be some of the most important people in your life will be seated at that table. And even your son-in-law or your daughter-in-law who drives you crazy might be at that table. And you will still love them. Because here's the deal. Some of us, any of us, you, me, any of us might not be at that same table next year. So enjoy the table this year. Enjoy every minute of it. Choose the better part. There's a word. There's a word I want you to leave here today, and I want you to carry it in your heart. I don't want you to forget this word. That word is sacrament. Sacrament. Leave here with that word emblazoned on your heart. Sacrament. It's one of those fancy religious words. But its meaning is so important for us. A sacrament is a rite or a ritual where God is uniquely active. A sacrament is a visible sign of an invisible reality. In the church, in the Protestant church, we claim that there are two sacraments, baptism and Holy Communion. But let me say this. All of life is a sacrament. All of life has the potential to be a sacrament. There is far more than just two. The sacrament is an action where God is uniquely active. If it's the invisible sign, if it's a visible sign of an invisible reality, then all of life has the potential to be sacrament. From preparing the meal, to washing the dishes, to enjoying the presence of others, to handing out food baskets, to people who walk through the door of your church for playing video games with young people in the basement, to even watching the Lions game. If it's with the right people, it can be a sacrament. Because the Lions fulfill Scripture every week. Right? And it says, Scripture says the lion will lay down with the lamb. And our lion lays down with the Rams and the Bears and the Vikings and the Chargers. But it can be sacrament. Sitting around enjoying the company of people you love, even watching the football game, can be sacrament if you take stock that God is present in that moment. Sacraments are these times when you can glimpse it, when you can see it, when the almost unbearable preciousness and the mystery of life is on full display. But too often we are like Martha. We are so caught up in getting it right that at the end of the day, what's most important, we can still get wrong. Sacraments occur all throughout our life. They can happen at any moment, at any place, to anybody. And if we aren't as blind as bats, we might see life itself. All of life is sacraments. What Martha didn't realize that day was that Christ was present at the table. And if we can see Christ present at the table, any table, every table, well, then choosing the better part becomes awfully easy. It's called Thanksgiving. Make sure when the day is over, you're thankful that it occurred. And to do that simply means to take stock of what is important and to realize that Christ is at the table at least once a month. We gather around a table right here. And why do we gather around this table here in this place? We gather around this table to recognize God's presence at this table so that you don't miss it when God is present at every other table. At the Thanksgiving table, at the lunchroom table, at the picnic table, at the table in nursing homes, in youth homes, in prisons, in boardrooms. There is a potential to be invited into the sacraments. It's probably the greatest privilege I have as your pastor to invite you to the sacrament, to invite you to the table. To this table, we're in the simplest of elements. We say Jesus is present, that God is among us. You see, we remember all those times that Jesus gathered around the table with his friends. And he took bread on that last time he would be with them. He took bread and he broke it. And he turned to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which I will give for you. Do this. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup and thanked God for it and said, "This cup is filled with the lifeblood of hope. My blood and my spirit poured out for you and for many for forgiveness. Take and drink. And when you do this in remembrance of me." And so we ask that God's Holy Spirit would pour out upon us and upon these gifts of this table so that Christ may become present to us and in our presence to others, Christ would be there too. Come this morning prepared to choose the better part, to realize that Christ is still among us, and that we have much, much to be thankful for, even in the midst of lives that are sometimes hard and confused. Brothers and sisters, this table is open today. This isn't my table. This isn't the church table. It's not the Methodist table. It's not my bishop's table. This is God's table. And when God's table is open, and when it says all are welcome, we mean it. So come to the table today. Experience God's grace and God's presence and go forth to be in the sacrament of life that is to come. And your pastor's prayer for you is that this Thanksgiving would be one of sacrament, one of joy, and one where we realize that God is still among us. I invite those who will be helping me serve the communion today to come forward, and we'll serve them, and then they will go to their stations, and you will be invited to come by the ushers who will be leading us through this morning.